Chapter 20. Draco runs through the chateau, past the portraits of his grandparents, who wink and wave at him. For the length of a corridor, Augustus Malfoy keeps pace with him, riding in and out of tapestries hanging along the wall, until he spots a white doe in one of them and chases after her. By the time Draco catches up with Harry, he's already striding out the front door and down the pathway to the gates. Potter, stop! It's fine, Draco. What the hell was that? Nothing. It was nothing. I'll see you in London. Draco tries to take him by the elbow, but Harry doesn't stop. Let go of me, he snaps, shrugging Draco's hand off himself as he continues down the sloping path. Harry, stop! What the fuck? He reaches out to him again, but Harry jerks free. Who was that man? Asks Potter. What man? Don't lie to me. You wouldn't have chased after me if you weren't... Oh, God. Harry makes a sudden noise of frustration. You don't get it, do you? You think I'm leading you on, playing some kind of game, but I'm not. All I need is for you to be patient for a little bit. The divorce will come through any day. And I get it, okay, I get it. You're brilliant and gorgeous, and anyone would be lucky. But just... Harry spins on his heel to face him, index finger poking into Draco's chest. Have a little fucking patience. This is worth it. Harry's furious eyes meet Draco's. You and... He freezes. Harry's mouth falls open. Oh my God. He breathes. Draco blinks. What's changed? Something just changed. Draco. Harry reaches up, runs his finger down the long scar marring Draco's cheek. And Draco realizes, breath stilling in his chest, that this is the first time Harry is seeing the scars on his face, since the day he put them there. Draco swallows, shivering under the touch. The night seems to quiet, the air congeals, and Draco, waiting for Harry's reaction, can hardly think. He's suddenly terribly afraid of being seen like this, of being judged. What if he can't stand to look at me, he wonders, even as another, angrier part of his mind dares Harry to look away in disgust from his own handiwork. With a garbled, I think I'm going to be sick, Harry shoves Draco aside, doubles over, and promptly throws up. As he retches, magic bursts from him in lurching waves of thin red thread, stitching its way through the ground, winding around trees, worming under their bark. Draco jumps back in alarm, then, reminding himself that the magic is Harry's, is normal, is safe, moves closer. He tries to rub his heaving back, but Harry reels away from him, rasping, "Don't, please don't touch me!" It's surprisingly painful, this whole thing. Every teenage fear rises up in Draco from where it's been buried, ugly and disgusting and sickening to look at, and finally, utterly unlovable. He resists the urge to turn and flee, to run up to his bedroom, crawl under the bed, throw a tantrum. Or worse, pull the glamour back up. Wiping his mouth with the back of his hand, Harry straightens, staring at Draco. "Did I do that to you?" he croaks, his magic quaking. "Was that me, the Sectum Sempra?" "Harry," Draco draws off, at loss for words. His head is reeling, but he's an adult. He's a grown man, and grown men don't run in the face of whatever this reaction is. He tries to touch Harry again. "No," he flinches away. "Don't touch me. Everything that comes into contact with me is destroyed." Potter's magic thrums, and Draco can't help himself. He takes a step back. Tries to say, "It wasn't..." "What?" Harry interrupts. "My fault? The gashes my actions left in you weren't my fault? Look at you!" Draco wants to turn away, hide himself, but he doesn't. If he lets that part of himself win now, it will forever be winning. The crack of apparition sounds through the silence, and Draco turns in time to see his parents snap into existence, wands raised, pointed straight at Harry. Their faces are hard and pale, his father's jaw is set, his mother's hand is shaking. He hasn't seen these expressions on their faces since the Dark Lord was living in the manor. Draco realizes that they're scared. His ears start to ring, and breathing becomes harder. Harry's magic writhes. "It's just Harry," he says, trying to control the unexpected wave of panic. Draco turns to face his parents, arms going up. "It's fine. We're fine. We're just having a bit of a spat. Put your wands away." Lucius narrows his eyes, and Narcissa closes her own, releasing a deep breath before nodding. "It's Draco's Harry, my love," she says, placing a calming hand on Lucius's shoulder, though she herself looks anything but calm. "Just some errant magic." Draco's father remains motionless, watching Harry for another moment, before finally lowering his wand. Harry stares at them, mystified. "Mr. Potter," says Narcissa after an awkward moment, "if you fry my garden, I will be decidedly unimpressed." Harry blinks, looks around, then down at himself, jumps. "Fuck," he says, his magic winking out of existence. "Sorry, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scare you." "Merlin, what's wrong with me?" It's a good question, considering Potter's pale face and blue-tinged lips. Smiling tightly, Narcissa waves her wand, performing a cleaning charm on both Harry and the mess on the pathway. "You're not using enough of your magic," Lucius draws. "If you weren't raised by muggles, you'd know that."
"Father!"
"What? It's true." Draco sighs. It's always one step forward, 10 steps back with Lucius. Behind Harry, Draco can see Blaze approaching them. Relieved to see him, Draco grins and rolls his eyes at him. But the gesture isn't returned. Instead, Blaze licks his lips, draws his wand. And though he keeps it lowered at his side, the grip he has on it is so strong, his knuckles turn white. "Harry Potter," he says, stopping at a distance. Harry turns to face him, frowning. "Blaze," says Draco, "it's all right." "Blaze?" Harry asks. He shakes his head as though trying to clear it. "As in, Blaze Zabini?" "Surprised that I escaped your righteous hand, Potter?" sneers Blaze. Potter, still unsteady on his feet, takes a step towards him. But Blaze steps back, lifting his wand and pointing it between Harry's eyes. Harry stills, eyeing it warily, but doesn't draw his own. "You should know better than anyone, Draco, that it isn't all right. He's personally responsible for the deaths of my parents, most all of our friends. As far as I'm concerned, all right hasn't been applicable to Potter since we were at Hogwarts." "He's not here to hurt us," says Draco, approaching Blaze with care. "You're safe, I promise you." A flurry of emotions crosses Blaze's face: fear, betrayal, frustration, anger, until it finally settles on sadness. "This isn't okay, Draco. You're putting your parents in danger by letting him be here. You might believe in his decision to distance himself from the auras and the ministry, but you know about that?"
"Merlin, Draco, I live in Paris, not Antarctica. We get the profit here too. Regardless, Potter's still an aura at heart. Rushing off to do the right thing, with no thought to who he'll destroy in the process, always was and always will be. Letting him in here is reckless."
"I understand why you feel unsafe," says Draco, hand wrapping around Blaze's wand hand. "But I have spent a considerable amount of time with Potter in the last few months, and I can assure you that if I thought he were even the smallest threat to my parents' safety, you'd have walked into a very different scene." Blaze glances at Draco. "You don't exactly have the best track record when it comes to trust." Draco meets his eyes and waits until Blaze's wrist finally relaxes under his palm. "If he murders us," Blaze mutters, raising an eyebrow, "I will blame you." Draco grins, glancing over at Harry, whose gaze is fixated on the place where Draco's fingers are wrapped around Blaze's wrist. Harry licks his lips, stands straighter, raises his chin. Draco's grin slips. Potter's lips are still pale, stance shaky, sickly.
There's a pop, and everyone jumps, but it's only a house elf. He extends a folded piece of parchment to Lucius, with the rattle written on it by hand. Lucius takes it from the elf, who bows, and with another pop, returns to the chateau. Unfolding the pamphlet, Lucius scans it quickly before offering it to Draco. "They're fast," his father tells him. Draco glances down. The headlining article says, "Former Death Eaters and Associates come together to discuss formation of Reconciliation Committee." "This is a good thing, isn't it?" asks Draco, skimming the article. "They don't sound opposed to the idea." Lucius shrugs a shoulder, frowning. Then he looks up at Narcissa. "I don't know how I feel about our dinner guests reporting to a paper," he says. "I thought," says Narcissa, "you were quite enamored with the publication." "Still?" She gestures to Draco, and he passes her the parchment. "I wouldn't worry about it," she says, giving it a once-over before returning it. "They don't name any names, don't disclose any details. I think this is good for Draco." "What is that?" asks Harry, as Draco pockets the pamphlet. "I'll tell you about it when we've more time." Harry nods, then winces. "We need to get you back to England right now," he says. "I got so distracted by all this." There's a feverish sheen in his eyes as he stares at Draco, then, as an afterthought, waves his hand at all of them. "When I left, Ron was gathering auras to storm the manor. If he gets there and you're missing, he'll have proof that you fled the country, which means instant arrest. No lawyer will be able to keep you out of Azkaban then." "Shit," says Draco, then glances apologetically at his mother, who pretends she doesn't hear the expletive. "Mother, father, thank you for your hospitality and your help. Blaze, let me deal with the auras and then come. Stay with me." Harry stiffens at Draco's side, and Blaze must notice because he raises a curious eyebrow in Potter's direction. "Owl me when it's safe," says Blaze, leaning forward and kissing Draco on the cheek. Draco bats him away with a laugh. "I'll see you soon," he says. Hugging first his father, then his mother, Draco looks at them, gut twisting with inexplicable tension. "I'll see you both soon," he says, and with a soft, "Come on, Harry, let's go," Draco starts down the path. "I disfigured you," says Harry, once they get out of earshot. "Listen here, Potter. This is who I am, and if you can't deal with that, get the fuck out of my life. I'm not going to wear glamour because I'm not pretty enough for you." "What?" "They are a part of me as much as the war is a part of me. And the Dark Mark is a part of me. If you think I care that you find them disgusting..." "No, Draco, no, Merlin. I don't find you or the scars disgusting. I'm the one who's disgusting. I did this, Where does this end?" Draco breathes, suddenly terribly tired. "Where does what end? This self-flagellation? We've all done shitty things. In fact, most people on the planet have done shitty things, whatever the reason, age or stupidity, coercion or circumstance. What do you think will make it better? Should I hate you? Shout at you? Attack you? Draco!" "No, fuck off, it's done. It's done, Potter. You did it. You cast the spell. I survived. I like my face just fine. It's done. Let it go. I can't just..." "Did you do it to disfigure me?" "What? No, of course not." "Then let it go." "You want me to forget that I'm a monster?" asks Harry. "I want you to realize," says Draco, "that good guys can be monsters too. You're not exempt by virtue of being the boy hero." They walk together in silence for a while, when Harry blurts, "Why were you hiding them from me? The scars?" "I was hiding them in general," Draco replies. "From everyone?" "From everyone who didn't know me." "Were you ever going to show me?" he asks, before answering his own question. "No, you weren't going to show me, but you showed him. Blaze gets to see the real you, while I get what? Some shadow?" Draco frowns, thoroughly confused. Potter, he snorts, are you jealous?
No.
Draco raises an eyebrow. Fine, yes, so much. I'm glad he's alive. But the way he looks at you, my God.
He looks at me the way one brother looks at another. He's got no romantic intent, I guarantee it.
For someone so perceptive, says Harry, you can be surprisingly dense. On Harry's insistence, Draco apparates them right into the manor, and it's a good thing too, because the wards are screeching. When Draco tests them, he's surprised to discover that they're about to give, in spite of the reinforcements, he added, after Ginevra's untimely break-in.
Take off your shirt, snaps Harry over the noise. Potter, now is hardly the time.
It's the middle of the night. Take off your shirt, tousle your hair, make it seem like you just woke up. Hurry! Draco does as he's told, banishing his shirt up the stairs.
Shoes too, says Harry, glancing at his feet.
Go to the staircase, start coming down it.
And you?
Harry looks around. I'll go out through the patio doors and come around to the front of the house. If need be, I'll pretend I got here after them. Draco nods, banishes his shoes, and runs to the foyer. He just has time to turn on the stairs when his front door is blasted off its hinges to reveal a handful of red-faced auras.
What the fuck?
Snaps Draco as the auras part, allowing Ron into the manor ahead of them. He flicks his wand, silencing Draco's wards. He's gotten better at magic since Hogwarts, Draco notes absently.
Malfoy,
says Weasley, taking in Draco's disheveled, shoeless state. We rang and rang, and you never came to the door.
I was asleep, Weasley. What do you want?
I'm here to check up on you, says Ron. Make sure you're adhering to the terms of your bail.
You do realize that you're trespassing, don't you?
Am I? Says Ron. I was sure we heard screaming coming from the manor. Didn't we, boys? The auras nod in unison. Draco barely resists the urge to roll his eyes. Those were just the sounds of your arrest fantasies dying. One of the auras snickers, then hides it in a cough. At least not every aura is an asshole, Draco thinks. As you have no legal cause to arrest me, please leave. He turns and starts back up the stairs.
Oh, and fix the door behind you, or I will pursue your department for damages.
As Draco reaches the top of the stairs, he hears Ron mutter, "What's this?" He turns just in time to see Ron bending over to pick up the copy of the rattle. He can feel the blood draining from his face. The pamphlet must have fallen out of Draco's pocket as he'd hurried through the entrance hall to the stairs.
"You just can't help picking up my garbage, can you, Weasley?" says Draco with a sneer, hoping to distract Ron while he draws his wand. "You can take the boy out of poverty, but you can't take poverty out of the boy."
He flicks an incineration spell at the pamphlet, but it bounces uselessly off of Weasley's wards. Ron raises an eyebrow but doesn't otherwise respond to the spell or to the bait.
"Asio,"
Draco breathes, but Ron bats the spell away as he unfolds the rattle and reads out loud, "Former Death Eaters and Associates come together to discuss formation of Reconciliation Committee."
"What's this, Malfoy?"
he asks, looking up at Draco.
"You and your little Death Eater friends think the world's forgotten what you are?
What you did?" "Don't worry. People may have grown too polite to mention it, but no one has forgotten, and no one has forgiven." With a flick of the wrist, Ron tosses the parchment to the floor. He turns. "Harry did quite a number on your face," he says, but there's no malice in the words, just a resigned surprise. Then with a sharp nod, Weasley gestures to his men and strides out the manor. Threads of blue magic sprout from his wand and wrap around Draco's front door. It rises from where it lies in the middle of the rug and with a groan works itself back into its frame, before slamming shut behind the auras with a resounding bang. Draco stares at it, stomach twisting with apprehension. A few minutes later, a timid knock sounds. "Hey," says Harry, peering in, though Draco did not call for him to enter. He looks at Draco, who is sitting on the bottom step, twirling the rattle between his fingers. "You okay?"
"Yeah," says Draco. He pockets the pamphlet and rubs his face, rising to his feet. "I'm exhausted."
"Not much of a surprise," says Harry. "It's almost 2 a.m. Go to sleep?" Draco sighs, nodding, then notices Harry hesitating at the door.
"What?
You're really going to let Blaze live here? Potter, get out of my house." Harry bites his lip, then crosses the carpeted floor to stand before Draco.
"The right thing to do would be to let you go," he says.
Draco notes that the feverish sheen back in his eyes. "I see now what my presence in your life has done to you, but I can't. Blaze can't have you, even if he's better for you. Safer for you than I am." Harry takes Draco's face in his hands, thumb running down the scar on Draco's cheek. An overwhelming wave of longing burns its way through Draco. "What are you doing, Potter?" he breathes. "What are you doing?" Instead of answering, Harry steps up onto the step that Draco's standing on. Crowding Draco into the banister, Harry rises to his toes and kisses him. It is possessive, heady and dirty. It has nothing in common with the way they'd kissed before, and it feels to Draco that if he'd let him, Harry would have him right there, on the stairs. There's something maddened in the forcefulness of his touch, his tongue as it rakes across Draco's lips. Draco pushes him back with a firm and gentle hand. "Harry, stop it," he says, as Harry tries to get closer again. "Stop, please. I'll do whatever you want. I owe you." And Draco reels back. "You owe me? Fuck you. I am not another tool for you to use against yourself. I hurt you. I hurt you, and I..." Fury boils over, and Draco draws his wand, snapping. "Fine, then sit down." He gestures to the staircase with a flourish. "Let me carve up your face." The words come out in a mocking hiss. "Then we'll be even." Harry freezes, licks his lips, gaze fluttering around the room. Then he nods, sits down on the step, and angles his flushed face towards Draco. "Do it." "Is this what you need?" asks Draco, pressing the tip of his wand into the clammy flesh of Harry's cheek. "For me to take on sin to absolve you of yours?" Harry meets his eyes. He's shaking, but he doesn't move away. "Is it?" Harry grits his teeth, eyes never wavering from Draco's. Then he jerks back from the wand. He's panting, red-faced, his whole body's quaking. "I'm as bad as the rest of them," he whispers. "Worse. I spent so long blaming them. Voldemort, the Ministry, Ron. But really, I'm the worst kind of evil. The kind that hides my atrocities behind the veil of good deeds." "Oh, Harry," says Draco, dropping his wand and going to his knees in front of him, taking Harry's cold hands in both of his. "So do we all. No man lives a life void of evil." Draco brushes beads of sweat off Harry's brow. "The question isn't whether or not you did it. The question is, what are you going to do now?" Harry nods, shakes his head, nods again, then gets up on unsteady feet. "I need to go," he whispers. Sidestepping Draco, he crosses the entrance hall. "Where are you going?" asks Draco. "Don't follow me. I need to be alone." Harry exits the manor, the door snicking closed behind him. Draco rests his forehead on the step Harry had just been sitting on. He'd go after him, but he can't. And even if he did, what would he say? Rising to his feet, Draco climbs the stairs and goes to sleep. He dreams he's sitting in the manor study. At the table beside him sits Voldemort. He grins and tells Draco an anecdote from his youth.